In Harlan Coben's latest thriller, Think Twice, we go back 3 years when sports agent Myron Bolitar gave a eulogy at the funeral of his client, renowned basketball coach Greg Downing. Myron and Greg had history, initially as deeply personal rivals and later as unexpected business associates. Myron made peace and moved on until when two federal agents walked into his office demanding to know where Greg Downing is. According to the agents, Greg still alive and has been placed at the scene of a double homicide, making him their main suspect. Shocked, Myron needs answers. So, along with longtime friends and colleagues, Wynn, he set out to find the truth, but the more they discover about Greg's whereabouts, the more dangerous their world becomes. Harlan Coben is the number one best-selling author of Fool Me Once and many other books, including Tell No One, Wynn, The Boy from the Woods, Runaway, and, of course, the renowned Myron Bolitar series. It's a great pleasure to welcome Harlan Coben to the roundtable this morning. Thank you very much for being with us.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing really well. I always enjoy talking to you. I always enjoy when a new book is out, and it's quite a kick for me to get to talk to you, especially after having just read the novel. Give me a sense of, for you, where you are in sort of the process of this, of when you decide it's time to do another one, and who in this wonderful cast of characters you have created is going to be a part of any given novel.
Well, thank you very, very much. I always start with an idea, like writing a character. I start with an idea and I come up with that sort of a thing, and then I ask who's going to tell the story. Well, 90%. Over the last 20-something books, the answer has been Myron only 4 times. This is the fourth I've written since 2000. So it's 24 years, Myron Bolitar book. And the other thing is I want it to be standalone. So I'm seeing, which is really great, a lot of people who've said, I've never read a Harlan Coben book, or I've never read a Myron Bolitar book, and I completely was able to follow it. So all of those criteria have to be into play before I figure out if it's going to be a Myron book or not.
So you start with that idea, and here it seems, and correct me if I'm wrong, but the idea is, how can someone who's already dead be wanted for murder?
Correct. There's a couple of things. That was number one. I'm big on missing people who may be dead, not alive. That's my milieu, if you will. The same way, Agatha Christie would have done murders, or Philip Roth did The Jewish Experience, and that's sort of what I do. I love missing people. I love all of that. So that was part of it. The other thing is, I always want, with my Myron Bolitar series, I always want it to be personal. I always want the stakes to be high for him himself. It's never just like Hercule Poirot solving a crime.
Right.
It always is hitting him smack in the teeth, and I think this one does it more than any other. I don't know your reaction, but the reaction I mostly get on this book is, number one, that it's maybe my most surprising ending. For those who like to guess who done it, I don't think too many people have in this particular case, but I hope it all makes sense. But more than that, more importantly than that, is that there seems to be an emotional hit where people also say, I had tears in my eyes at the end. So those are the two emotions that I'm always trying to give my readers, and I hope Think Twice does that.
Yeah, I think it absolutely does. It's a hell of a ride, and getting there is really interesting and a lot of fun. But there is that emotional aspect to it, and I'm curious as to how difficult that is to write, because you can care about this, and the characters can care about this, but you have to make us care about this.
Well, I think it's the key. I hope whatever success I've been able to have is, I'm known as the guy, I guess, who does twists and turns and
right.
And fools you and things like that. But I think, especially in the case of Think Twice, if it's just that, it's just not going to be all that. It's not going to be what I want. Anyway, it's not going to be quite that interesting. I think the real key is to have the emotional surprise. The fact that, oh, wow, I'm just reading a thriller book and I'm feeling tears running down my cheeks, and that you care. The Myron books especially, and I call them really the Myron and Wynn books now, they're about friendship. They're about relationships. This is the first book where Myron now is married, and we get to see that side of him. This is, he has people from his past that we all have in our life coming back to haunt him. And so all that sort of a thing, I think is what makes, I hope what makes the book stand out and what will stick with you after you turn that last page.
I think all of the things you just mentioned obviously are key to this, but there is also just one of the elements of having a series and having these two characters that we know and many of us have read from the beginning that helps with that caring about these characters because we've grown up with these characters.
Well, yeah, I certainly hope so. It's, you know, for people who have read them all, they know the whole backstory. They've been, you know, I think a lot of people, I hope, because, of the, you know, look, we are living in very difficult, dangerous times. And there's nothing wrong with a little escapism. I want that for you. I want you, look, you can read this book as a pure thriller and suspense, and that's all fine. But I think and I hope that you're reading it also just to spend time with Myron and Wynn in the apartment and Esperanza and worry about his parents the same way he does and we all sort of do. Yeah, that's my hope, that all those things play into it. But every novel also starts a certain point in someone's life. So if somebody says to me, oh, well, Myron is now in his mid to late 40s. Shouldn't I start with him when he's in his 20s? Well, no, if you started with him in his 20s, shouldn't you have started with him when he was 20 or 16 or 15? You have to start sort of someplace. And I think back, and I'd be curious, Joe, about your reaction to this. I think of all my favorite series that I've read over the years, be it Robert B. Parker, Spencer, be it Sue Grafton's Alphabet series, be it Michael Connelly's Harry Bosch. Right. I never started with the first book.
No.
In any of those cases. And so people who go, oh, you have to start with Deal Breaker. I don't think Deal Breaker is my best book. I think you're better off starting here and then going back. And I think if I was a huge Robert B. Parker Spencer fan. I think that's obvious when you read Myron Bolitar.
Absolutely.
But if I started with the Godwolf manuscript, I'm not sure I still would have read more. I didn't love the Godwolf manuscript. I loved Ceremony, which I think was the first book in the series that I read. So you know, this sort of like, oh, well, this is in the series. I can't read it until I start with number one. I think it's hogwash,
you know,
frankly. And I can't think of one case. I can't think of one case, really, where a longtime series, even Lahaina, I think I started with the second one and went back. I'm not sure there's one case where I started with the first.
Harlan Coben is our guest on the roundtable this morning. The name of the new novel is Think Twice. I remember talking to Bob Parker, and he said, because I told him that the first book that I really fell in love with was Catskill Eagle. And I think that was maybe 12, 14 books in. And he said, well, I think that's the first book I actually got right, you know, where I started to figure it out, that I knew what I was doing. And I think that's fascinating that these characters are long. But again, there's a maturation of the author, of the style, and finding an audience and finding your way with these incredible characters.
Thank you. And I also think it's a different sort of, yes, maybe this will spoil a moment in another book for some people. But I'm okay with that. You know, it's like sometimes shows flashback and you know what happened. Also, if you think about most of your favorite TV series. Most of the time, now in today's world, it's a little different, but when we were younger, I'm talking about, you didn't find the show till 3 or 4 or 5 because they weren't on repeat. You couldn't just watch them whenever you wanted to watch them. So eventually you would have heard about them through friends and they were on ABC or CBS or whatever. And then you would start it. You couldn't go back necessarily to the first one until it came on repeat one night in August at 8 p.m. or whatever. So it's kind of an interesting dynamic where I think, and obviously this sounds very self-serving, where I'm telling you, if you've never read a Myron Bolitar book, start with the newest one, Think Twice. But that is what I'm telling you.
Yeah, but also there's the contemporary nature too, right? I mean, I think, I know I feel this way sometimes where you look back and you read a book and you go, okay, that's a little bit different. It's aged a little bit. It's maybe not as fresh as it would be. And that's what's exciting about reading Think Twice is that it's contemporary, it's there, and it's here right now.
Such a great point. I mean, how many times, I can't tell you, I have 4 kids, and how many times I will go, oh my God, kids, you're going to love this movie Dad Love that came out in 1986. And you started. And first of all, it seems pretty damn boring even to you.
Oh, wow.
Wholly inappropriate by today's standards or whatever else. And my kids are looking at me like, you like this, Dad? And I'm like, maybe I don't. So I think you make a really good point that there is something, you know, contemporary that makes it also enjoyable. Not that you hope the books are dated. I hope the books, I've never written the books hoping that people are caring if people read them in 100 years from now. Hope they do, but it's not what I write them for. But, you know, I think Deal Breaker is a snapshot of a book that was written in 1993 or 94. And so, yeah, I agree with what you said. That's an interesting point, one people don't talk about very often.
It's also, I want to just explore with you when you talk about your writing process. But look, all writing is difficult, right? It's all hard to do. But is the emotional aspect of it something that you are comfortable with and feel that you have gotten better at as time has gone on?
I do think I've gotten better. I mean, I think some books I look back on and I go, wow, I don't have the energy or the naivete to write a book like that anymore. And there's something super entertaining about that, but that's just not going to happen for me. Overall, I do think I'd get better. There'll be certain people who will disagree with that, and that's okay. I remember when my first book was called Play Dead, and it was, to me, I didn't really like it all that much. And we all look back on our old work, and we're all harder on it than maybe we should be. I said, you know, and I'll sometimes get letters from people, and I put a note in the beginning of the book saying, this isn't my favorite, so I'm letting it back into print. Read it if you're a completist, that kind of thing. And some people write me saying, oh, no, this is your best book. You're worse now. So you never really know. But judging by certainly the reviews on this, I try not to read them, but I have people who tell me that the Goodreads for Think Twice are the best so far of my career. So we'll see. You know, I work hard on every one of them. I want all of them to be the best book I've ever written, but I'm not the one to make that decision.
It's fascinating to me in talking to authors about Goodreads and other and the Amazon reviews and so forth. I've heard people say, the last thing they want to do, it gets in their head and they think about it too much and they say they don't want it to get in their head and yet it still does. And then other people who are fascinated by it and say, well, I don't really care. The book is the book. It's there. And I'm just kind of curious as to how people process it. To me, it would be like going to my own funeral.
Right. Which, of course, is tempting, isn't it?
A little. But I know I'd regret it.
Right. I don't. It's mostly, frankly, because I've been at this out a long time. So I'm not above it or anything like that, but there's a lot, you know, there's 10 or 20 or 30,000 reviews maybe when the book is out for a while. And if I saw one, I like the stars. If somebody told me, okay, this one has only 3 stars, I might pay attention because I'd be curious as to why. But every book has the same reviews, the same number, the same ranking within a 0.2 or whatever. It's always sort of the same thing when you've been around as long as I have. It's rare that one is way higher or way lower. And so there's not much to glean from it. I do, you know, many people had the same criticism. You can always learn. I mean, not above any of that. And also, yes, it's just pointless right now. It's not going to change what I do. As I've moved on in my career, I've stopped worrying about the sort of counting scores, counting review, counting what, you know, how many good reviews versus bad, how many. I don't even pay attention, frankly, even to sales. Not being above it, but it's just not, you know, I know where it's going to land approximately. And if something goes haywire one way or the other, then I might take another look at it. But outside of that, I'm more focused on trying to write or produce whatever it is the best that I can. And that stuff is a distraction, so why deal with it?
The name of the new novel is Think Twice by Harlan Coben. If you are writing, is there pressure on you, say you've written a standalone or you've written a non-Myron Bolitar book, is there pressure to go with the series because it is a familiar character?
I'm fortunate in the fact that my series character sells no better or worse, maybe even in some countries a little worse, than my standalones. So my publishers have no financial interest in pushing one or the other. Some of the overseas ones do. Interestingly enough, I get paid a lot less in Germany, for example, for a Myron Bolitar book than I do a standalone. They just don't work as well there for some reason. So overall, that ends up being about the same. So I have no, and my publishers have no financial pressure. I don't know if I would listen to it anyway, not that, again, I'm above it, knowing what the market wants or doesn't want. but I've always been able to write what I've wanted to write. I've never had that sort of a thing go on.
Which is a wonderful freedom to have as a writer.
Yes. You know, I write Myron when I want to write Myron, usually because of an idea has come to me, or usually it's when an idea comes to me. I think of an idea first. So, for example, I wrote 7 straight Myron Bolitar novels in the late 90s. And then I came up with this idea about a man and a woman who are happily married. The wife is murdered. The man can't get over her death. 8 years pass. He gets an email. He clicks the hyperlink. He sees a webcam, and his dead wife walks by. And I go, wow, I love this idea. But Myron can't tell because Myron didn't have a wife who was murdered 8 years ago. So I created David Beck, and I wrote Tell No One. From then on, it all depends. Will the idea that I have, who's going to tell that story is the next case? Is it going to be David Beck? Is it going to be Will Klein? Is it going to be Maya Stern? Or is it going to be Myron Bolitar? And if it works for Myron, he'll tell it, which is very rare, frankly. Or if not, I would create somebody new to tell that story.
And I'm not certainly intimating that one is related to the other, but now when a character that you've worked with for so long, like Myron Bolitar, is married and has a wife, that it's a different element, isn't it? It's something different.
Well, this is the first time. I mean, he got married at the very end of the last book,
right,
called Home, which I think is 8 years old now. And so I was sort of curious. I was, you know, I don't want to make him happy or too domesticated. That's one of the things, because then it becomes boring. When I created Myron, he and I have a wonderful tension where he has what I want and I want what he has. Myron's whole dream in life has always been to get married and move to the suburbs and have kids and a barbecue in the yard and a basketball hoop in the driveway and all of that. And I have that. And Myron, I've always denied that to him. He doesn't get that. Right now he's married, but he doesn't have any of the kids or any of that sort of thing in that way. On the other hand, my parents died young. Myron's relationship with his parents are what I imagine would I be having with my parents had they survived. And this novel, they're getting older. They're changing. They've moved down to Florida. And Myron has to deal with all those heartbreaks and the joy of having parents who are, you know, now approaching 80, in their 80s. And that's, you know, I have sometimes a habit of getting very melodramatic or overly emotional when I write those scenes. Tough. That's my therapy. And if you don't like them, skip them. But Myron's parents, are, you know, they had comic relief. And in this book, I think they had the most harrowing scene. Again, hopefully, if you're caring about people, one of the most harrowing scenes, I think, that I've written in the series that will really, I think, make you sort of sit up as you're reading.
Well, it's just terrific. The new book is Think Twice, just out from Grand Central. Harlan Coben, always a pleasure to speak with you. Thank you so much for being with us. Congratulations on the new book, and thanks so much for the time you shared with us.
Thanks very much, Joe. Good talking to you again.
Be well. Take care. Again, the name of the new book is Think Twice. It is published by Grand Central by Harlan Coben. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.